The Holy Gospel according to the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the 12th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please be seated. And before I get into my sermon, I omitted an announcement accidentally. Our congregational reports are out in the gathering area behind the couch on the little table. And also, if you haven't collected your giving statement, those are actually out underneath the bulletin board just outside the doors, too. Now we're in sermon mode. So I was in elementary school, maybe 9 or 10, and it was a nice hot summer day, and we got to meet my step-grandpa for the first time. Of course, at the time, he wasn't quite yet my step-grandpa. But it was an unusual time because, well, grandma all those years had just been grandma. My grandfather passed before I was born, and so I was used to having her all to myself as just grandma. But anyway, the man who would become my step-grandpa came over to our house, and he was meeting us, and he had a gift for both my sister and myself, which was the most amazing thing we had ever received up to that point in our life. They were fishing poles. Now, if you can imagine somebody around 9 and around 7 for the first time having a fishing pole, Grandpa sat down and told us how it worked. And of course, he was smart to not put a hook on it right away. And it had one of those reels on it that had like a little button that you pushed with your thumb. And you'd bring it back, and you'd hold the button, and you'd wing it out, and it would fly. And of course, we had to practice in the living room of our house in Flint. The living room was maybe 10 by 12 or 10 by 14. And it was my sister and myself and my mom and my dad and my grandma and my almost then grandpa and our dogs. And my sister and I are in there with these fishing poles. Well, you can imagine that didn't last very long because my mom got a little uncomfortable with us winging these things all over the place. So we ended up going out to the backyard on the back porch, two of us. Now, the back porch was smaller than the width of this carpet here in the front. And it wasn't long before a fight ensued because we're practicing our casting off the back porch because that was our little boat, you know. And, you know, when you're not paying attention, you tend to, like, smack each other accidentally. And sometimes when we got really good at casting, because we were just using bobbers at that point, we would cast it out, and we would see how far we could get it into the backyard, and eventually we got it so that it would wrap around my mom's clothesline. You know how what I'm talking about, because it has enough momentum, and it goes, well, you can't reel it in. So that was a whole thing. We ended up going to the front porch of our house. Now, the front porch was like a pirate ship. It was huge. Well, at least in our version, it was huge. And there was a side for my sister and one for me, so we didn't smack each other with them, which was a good thing. And we had a competition. We were casting off the porch into the front yard, which became the water. And it was the closest front yard, not the front yard beyond the sidewalk, but the closest front yard. And then we got it out to the further front yard. And then we actually got pretty good at trying to get it out to the street. We may or may not have hit a few cars with our bobbers that were parked there. And it wasn't long before we were like, well, what else can we do? Because, I mean, you got to play with your new fishing pole. And in the city of Flint, there aren't a whole lot of places to fish in our neighborhood. So we were pretending to fish, and wouldn't you know, along up the sidewalk comes this gentleman walking. Now, mind you, this is in the 70s, and stranger danger wasn't a thing like it is now. So he's walking along, and we're like, ha ha. Hey, mister. Yo, guy, do you want to be the fisherman? What? Well, do you want to be a fish, we mean? Because we're trying to catch fish, and we need somebody to be the fish because we still have these new fishing poles. And neither one of us can be the fish because we got a cast. Okay. So this guy that we didn't know pretended to be a fish for each of us a few times. I don't know how long it was, but we got a few casts in each of us, and he would catch it and pull on the line, and we'd reel it in, and then he'd do it again. And of course, well, he had other things to do, obviously. And he went on his merry way. As I read this gospel lesson, I thought about that time. And I thought about how in those afternoon of playing around with our fishing poles, we learned something. We were in training, really. First of all, it was neat to get a gift from someone that we had just met that meant a lot. But later on that summer, and summers after that, after my grandma got married to my grandpa, we got to go up to the Tittabawassee River in Gladwin, where he had a cabin. And he had a cabin that was right on the water. So we could go out on the dock when we were bored, or sometimes we were just on the shore. And sometimes, if it was a great day, we'd get in the boat, and Grandpa would take us fishing with our fishing poles. And he had some strict rules. You can't hit each other with your fishing pole. Don't cast into the weeds. Don't stick yourself with a hook. And watch for that bobber to go, because once it goes under, you set the hook and you start reeling. It was fun. It was really fun. And I think about those moments when I think about this gospel lesson. You see, we have Jesus walking along. He leaves Galilee, and he's over in the territory of Capernaum. And he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, which kind of looks like a big lake, really, but not like the Great Lakes, but a pretty good-sized lake. And he sees these brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they're casting a net out into the sea because they're doing their job. They're fishermen. He says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And we learn immediately they leave their nets and they follow him. So I have a question for all of you, and I'll compare you to Saturday nights in a minute. But if Jesus were here and you knew it was Jesus, and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," would you stop your livelihood and your job to follow him? How many would do it? I got one. Would you leave your family to do so also? Just go? And what? If you knew it was Jesus, you would. Good for you. So far between last night's service and this one, we got one person. I admire your courage. Because that would be a scary thing, wouldn't it? To give up every single thing and just leave to go and fish for people? Now, my sister and I, we were really just playing a game and learning a little bit about life, how to fish, right? And God bless that guy who walked by for keeping us entertained. Can you imagine the story he had to tell the people wherever he was going? You're not going to believe what just happened. Right? My sister and I were playing a game, and technically we were fishing for people, really. Maybe we gave them some joy. Did Simon and Peter and Andrew, did they know what they were in for when they just dropped their nets and followed him? They gave up their livelihood to follow him. And then Jesus continues, and he sees a couple other brothers, James and John, who are the sons of Zebedee. And they're actually out in a boat with their dad, mending the nets, getting ready to plop them in the water, I'm sure, because you can't really catch fish in a net that has a hole in it. He calls them, and immediately they leave the boat and their father and followed him. What did their dad think in the boat? Man, they just took off. And they're following Jesus immediately, right now. No hesitation, no questions, no Garmin, no GPS, no anything. They just followed him because he said, that's what we have to do. Let's go. Come on. The stories that they must have shared as they went. Fishermen have some pretty good stories, as you all know. Some of them are stretched a little bit, the one that got away. Heck, I just told you a fishing story about a person that my sister and I caught when we were in elementary school. So what does this mean for us? It gives us something to think about. You realize it's been a month and one day since we celebrated Christmas morning. Did you think about that? I have friends who are already counting down to a Christmas this year. I wish they would stop. It's too much pressure. Do you remember what we talked about during Advent? For those of you who came, we talked about inviting people to church. Have you? Seeing people like, please don't pick on me. I promise I won't. The thing is, we've seen the light. We know what it means to live a life following Jesus. Sometimes little moments, sometimes big moments, sometimes the great ones, sometimes the hard ones. The fish don't jump in the boat. We didn't just jump in the boat. Someone had to teach us about Jesus and who he is. Someone had to bring us and invite us and encourage us, even on the days when we didn't feel like coming to church. You come. We've talked about that. We've talked about inviting people to church and what it could mean for others to be a part of our community. We've talked about how sometimes when we don't have the words, just little phrases like come and see. See what it's all about. Folks, that's what fishing for people is all about, is just sharing the good news about Jesus. That's what all these people did in our gospel. Excuse me, they shared the news. They talked about it. They went out into the world immediately. And that's what we're encouraged to do. I know it can be scary, but here's the thing. Sometimes it can be really great. Sometimes you can touch a person's life and not even know that you did, and telling them about Jesus. Sometimes just a few words, just a prayer. Sometimes just saying, hey, you know what? We have really good donuts at our church. You should come and have some coffee and a donut and a conversation. We have nice people at our church. We laugh. We have a dorky pastor. You should see. Or maybe you're a little afraid, but I'll go with you because she could be a little weird sometimes. We don't know the kind of fish God's going to put in our way. Along the path of our lives, as we traverse our way through, we don't know. But the thing is, it could be a lot. Sometimes it can be a lot of fish, and sometimes just a few, and sometimes maybe not any. But we still have to try. And it can be fun. And sometimes you might even have to talk to a stranger. Because really, if you're inviting the fish that you already know who come to church anyway, how are you fishing for people? You're just continuing your relationship. But there are folks who haven't come in a while. You know what? Talk to them. Invite them. It takes a while. But you just keep fishing. You just keep fishing because it's fun. Who knows? Who knows the things that we can learn about Jesus as we do that? Who knows the relationships that we can build and the fun that we can have and the people who can be cured and the sicknesses that can be cured among the people? Amen.